We're back on In Focus here on News Radio KMAN. It's USD 383 Day. Speaking, of course, with Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed and Board Member Pat Hudgens. And before the break, we were talking about parent-teacher conferences and kindergarten roundup. And it's only February, but we're looking at some warmer temperatures, hints of spring in the air. You're going to be looking tonight at summer programs. And maybe what all does that entail?
Basically, kind of to inform the board what we're doing this summer, you know, what buildings we're going to have programs in, part of that special education for extended school year for some of our kids that need those services. But some buildings we close down in the summer to do some major work on, and other programs will run like mornings or day camp. Also about STEM camp that we coordinate with Kansas State and their College of Education, and just kind of give the board an update of here's what we have planned for the summer, where we're going to have kids and what they're going to be doing.
What are some of the costs associated with this program going to be? How do you go about funding some of these?
We fund them in a lot of different ways. So a lot of them are grants. A lot of them are community partnership grants. One of them is a DoDEA grant, STEM grant. Like I said, we partner with K-State and a lot of different groups. So We backed off the district funding of that and looked at outside sources for almost all of our summer programs. Not all of them, but almost all of them are funded by grants or other community partners.
Well, and that's impressive because it sounds like in a lot of ways you're going to have a very busy summer. So being able to fund that in mostly outside sources, probably no easy feat, really. I'm imagining that's a lot of paperwork.
It was a lot of work, and I'll give a lot of credit to Carol Adams, our previous teaching and learning director, Stan Ward, and writing grants. Lacey Sell kind of picked up where Carol left off, and then Jeannie Disney, Lucas Shivers are all, they're always pushing forward opportunities, and our principals are too. You know, they know kids need summer opportunities.
Is there anything new this year that wasn't incorporated in last year's summer learning program?
Not that I know of.
When you talk about the STEAM partnership with Kansas State University, that just sounds particularly fascinating because workforce development continues to be a trend here in the Flint Hills. So when you're giving kids these skills early, I would imagine that's something that you're only going to be able to build upon.
I hope so. And we've been talking to MATC about some potential partnerships as well to expand some of those career opportunities to show some of our students what's possible. I will say there has been some talk of that. You mentioned STEAM. What we haven't had is a lot of the music and the arts in that, and I think there's some interest on K-State's part about branching into that as well. So that's an area we might jump into, too.
Well, and I guess maybe when you talk about summer programs, I know in the past you've had summer meals. Is that going to continue to be an option for parents and students here in the summer?
Yes.
I
don't know if we know what sites yet as well. We coordinate that through food service, and depending on which buildings, we usually pick about four of them to be feeding sites during the summer. But we'll get that information out because we definitely want people to know.
Well, and again, that's more grant money, right? That's federal.
It's federal money. Mm-hmm. Federal money, and we qualify for that because of some of our at-risk populations that we have in our district.
Well, that's a great opportunity. That's something you've been able to expand recently, correct?
Yeah. Stephanie Smith does an awesome job. If there's an opportunity for us to move forward with it, Stephanie knows about it. She's pushing it forward for our community.
Well, when you talk about partnerships with, you know, Kansas State University or being able to acquire some of these grants to improve the quality of your summer services, I think it makes you turn a critical eye at legislative matters, which you're only going to be talking about more tonight. Obviously, not a whole lot concrete things being discussed in Topeka. No bill has been introduced, correct?
Oh, there have been a lot of bills introduced.
Funding formulas, though?
Yeah, there's been education funding formulas. What we don't know is what has legs, what doesn't have legs, you know, what's going to come about after committee, what kind of compromises we're going to see. So it's kind of like a moving target that we need to figure out along the way. So we're starting to hear the beginnings of some of the bills that are coming forward and trying to piece them together and how they impact us.
I had heard a number of $128 million out of K-12 education. Is that a real number that's been introduced? Is that true that they're looking at deducting that?
That was one bill that was put out, a rescission bill basically to cut K-12 education by 5% off our general fund budgets. So for USD 383, that was about $1.5 million. that didn't make it to the floor of the house that it started with. So we don't know if that could come back in some capacity. But that's quite a bit of money with only 4 months left in the school year.
That'd be really hard to fill just because you've planned for that at this point.
Yeah, it's hard. And I think they were saying, you know, we have balances, savings accounts, they'll call it flexible funds that districts could use to do that. And while that's true, it's kind of goes against our business cycle where our revenue kind of comes in and out. I was trying to explain it to somebody the other day. It's kind of like if, you know, you're working a job for a whole year, but you got paid a big check 4 times a year and you got little bitty checks, you know, maybe 8 other times during the year. You kind of have to save your money so you can make sure you have enough money to pay your bills when the time comes.
I was at the GOP convention last weekend, and I was able to speak with the governor, and he sounded fairly confident about the plans to force all districts under a statewide health insurance plan. Has there been anything concrete introduced in that aspect?
Nothing concrete. They've had a hearing and some information coming forward. That's a topic that we're watching very, very closely, and it could be a place we could save money district-wide. I don't know if it saves districts money or if it just reduces the amount they give us for it, but some of the options going forward for that, I see some concerns, but there hasn't been a legislation piece to come out. From what we've seen so far, it looks like there's definitely some winners and losers, and because we weren't involved in that study to begin with, we don't know which side of the fence we'd fall on.
Well, the governor sounded fairly confident that this would save a lot of money, but maybe there's not that much money to be saved, because you talk about a few districts in the state who have really great health insurance plans, but overall, would you say school districts have good health insurance plans or not?
They range. They're very different. I would say our plan is more on the catastrophic side than it is on the good insurance side. You know, I would say good insurance is a good $500 deductible copay to another $1,000 out of pocket. Ours is much higher than that. So we're kind of on the lower end of coverage, I would say, and it's getting expensive for a lot of districts. So you get the range of what you have in insurance. So it just depends where you fall.
Well, and as I've noticed, it's all about priorities in your district, just because you take that money and use it elsewhere, right?
Yeah.
Rather than investing in a health insurance plan. It'll be interesting to see where all that unfolds here in the coming months, and hopefully things turn out well here at the end of the fiscal year, and they're able to come to terms on something new. But I know, looking forward to something positive, there's an MHS play coming up. So I don't know, Pat, if maybe you want to talk a bit more about that. Some students at the high school getting ready to do a production this weekend, next weekend?
This weekend, the 16th, 17th, and 18th at 7 p.m. in Rizek Auditorium. Peter and the Star Catcher. Adults are $5, students are $4. And we encourage you to be a part of that if you have time.
When you talk about a really active group at Manhattan High School, those thespians, they're all over the place. They're in Wichita winning the Gold Troop Award. They're really active. It's impressive how many productions they're able to put on.
They're really awesome, too. Yeah, it's pretty awesome. Impressive to watch them.
Well, and that's just more great things we're able to do in the district. It's 9:31 here at KMAN's In Focus. We're going to go ahead and head to our next break, but we've been visiting with USD 383 Assistant Superintendent Eric Reed and Board Member Pat Hudgens. Next up, we'll hear from Jim Jeanette with MATC right here on KMAN.